الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز: وما ربك بظلام للعبيد. وقال الله عز وجل: لكم دينكم ولي دين. وقال الله عز وجل في شان حبيبه مخبرا وآمرا: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصل عليه. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. Infinite praise and glories for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and peace and blessings be upon our noble messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts our gathering here today and makes it a means for our success and salvation and guidance. Ameen. The verse that I recited is a very important one because it relates to the events that have taken place in the last week or so, something that has been in the news, and it will inevitably affect Muslims just as it affected many other people throughout the world. But the verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I shared with you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ, that our Lord, the Lord of humanity, the Lord of all of the universes, the Lord of all of creation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Rabb, will never do any injustice, will never do any zulm to any of His slaves. Then you might think, well, we are the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ibad al-Rahman, we. But no, in Arabic language you have abd, which is servant and slave, which we all understand. But it has two particular jama'as. One is abid and one is ibad. Abid here is the generic slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is all of creation, all of humanity. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran talks about His khas servants as well, which are the ibadur rahman, the slaves and servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nevertheless, any individual that is killed, any individual that passes away, they are all servants and slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether individually, whether through their own choice, or whether qahri, whether they are forced and compelled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nevertheless, as you know, that close to 300 Christians celebrating the holiest day, just the way we celebrate and we come to Jumu'ah, which is one of the holiest days for Muslims throughout the world, they were celebrating their holiest day, which is Easter, and they were murdered by suicide bombers and terrorists. And approximately 500 or so have been injured in Sri Lanka last week on Sunday. So it is a very, very dark time for all of humanity, and especially for Muslims. And it's important for us to make this very, very clear statement that we stand in solidarity with the Sri Lankan Christians and convey our deepest sorrow and condolences to all of those people that have been affected. And we also at the same time do a dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives comfort to their loved ones, and also that He blesses those people who have been injured with a quick and lasting recovery. And we do dua that Sri Lanka, which is, for those people who have been to Sri Lanka, I myself have been, Sri Lanka is a very, very beautiful, beautiful country. A lush, green, beautiful country. And may Sri Lanka also follow in the footsteps of New Zealand by rising above the hatred and not fueling the animosity towards Islam or Muslims, etc., and understanding who are the true culprits behind all of these things. But for us also, for Muslims far and wide, it's important for us to understand that minorities throughout the world are under attack. Whether you go to Saudi Arabia, whether you go to Pakistan, Christians and non-Muslims are in the minority. Just like we here in the UK are a minority. So wherever you will find minorities, you will always find some form of persecution or some form of animosity or hatred spewed at them. But we must work with each other, on the micro level and the macro level, to inform each other and educate each other about who we are, what our culture, what our identity, what our religion says, and also to educate people about the true message of Islam and the true message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So today, slightly different from the normal standard khutbah, I thought it would be pertinent for us to go back to the Quran and quickly go through some of the points for us to understand the Muslim identity and for us to understand where our position is in relation to other people, in relation to minorities, in relation to all of humanity and the civilizations that we coexist with. So from the Quran I have extrapolated and extracted some key principles, some key articles that I want to share with you, which I like to call the Quranic constitution of respect, of love, of tolerance, and also of coexistence. And these are important for you to understand, and then for you to share out with your neighbors, with your friends, and with other people and your colleagues as well. So the first article that I wanted to share with you all is the article that we are all seekers of the meaning of truth. That every single person in this world is searching for something, searching for a hakikah, searching for some form of truth and some meaning in their particular life. Whether they are Zoroastrians, whether they are Hindus, whether they are Sikhs, whether they are Muslims, whether they are Christians, Jews, and every person in their own capacity, physical, emotional, intellectual, spiritual capacity, is searching for something. And therefore, it's important for us to respect every single person's search and their journey in their lifetime, and not to force them to come to your journey or jump into your car and say, no, come on this journey. This is the journey that will take you to heaven. This is the only journey for salvation. No. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran reminds us, وَقُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. That simply say to people that the truth is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever you consider to be your Lord. So let whoever wills believe, and also let whoever wills disbelieve. So let people go on their journey to understand who they are, where their place is in the dunya, and where their journey will take them to which particular Lord, or which particular deity. Those who wish to believe, let them believe in their own capacity. And those who wish to disbelieve, let them also equally disbelieve and let them be. So we are not here to force Islam down the throats of people, whether in New Zealand, whether in Sri Lanka, or anywhere else for that matter throughout the world. Every single person has a right to exist, has a right to reason, has a right to seek the guidance and seek meaning and truth to their particular lives. The second article to understand is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our creator, He has created Bani Adam. He has created all of humanity, the beginning of Adam alayhi salam, up until now, and from our day and age to perhaps another millions and billions of years. We don't know how long creation will continue, Bani Adam. Nevertheless, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of Bani Adam, mentions, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي Adam. That indeed we have ennobled and honored all of the children of Bani Adam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say we only ennobled and honored the Muslims, we only ennobled and honored the Christians, we only ennobled and honored the Jews or anybody else. No, all of Bani Adam, because we all come Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. And therefore inherently and intrinsically every single human being has a value, has a worth. And we do not have the right to look down at another person because of their culture, because of their color, because of their behavior, because of their ethnicity, because of their characteristics, because of their wealth or power. None of these things. We don't have the right. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that all of these have been created and honored by me. And therefore it's very important living in this country or anywhere else in the country where the Muslims are a majority or where the Muslims are a minority, that they should always respect all human beings, all of humanity, because this is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is very important for us to understand in order for us to coexist, in order for us to tolerate and respect and honor one another as well. And the third article is that of diversity, which is a marvel of creation. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have created one, man in one particular form, in one particular color. But no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created human beings in a diverse manner. in a beautiful manner, just the way you have a multiplicity of food and grapes and sabziya and vegetables and drinks and so many things in creation. How many trees do you have? How many flowers do you have? Plantations, so much variety in the dunya. And in a similar fashion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us with different lisans, with different tongues, with different cultures, with different abilities, with different characteristics. And this is for us to appreciate the differences in creation and appreciate the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ خَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافُ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَأَلْوَانِكُمْ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِلْعَالَمِينَ. That and among the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sign is there for you to reflect, for there for you to appreciate, there for you to understand, there for you to absorb, there for you to interact with and seek guidance from that particular sign. That from these signs of the creations of the heavens and the earth, and the variations in the languages and your colors, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that these are the things that give you flavor, that give you color to your life, that give you something to look forward to. Imagine having dal every single day. Okay? Those people who have been to madaris, you know, they just have dal and dal and dal. And when they have some gosht or some chicken, and they really appreciate it. Just like that, you know, this is the variety and the color and the flavor of creation of Bani Adam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. And in another verse of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, Inna khalaqnakum min zakarin wa unsa wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qabaila lita'arafu. Inna akramakum inda Allahi atqakum. Inna Allah alimun khabir. That indeed, O mankind, addressing all of humanity, not specifically and solely addressing the Muslim, but indeed we have created you from male and from female and made you peoples and tribes and nations so that you may get to know one another. Not that so you kill one another, you terrorize one another, you instill fear in the heart of other people, or you create fitna and destruction in the dunya the way things are happening. No. None of these things. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not do any zulm upon His servants, whether that servant believes in Him or doesn't believe in Him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still continues to give them health, still continues to give them wealth, still continues to give them children, still continues to give them food and nourishment and sustenance and give them life and opportunity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not do zulm upon all of His creation. So who are we? Who has given us the right or the mandate to go and to do zulm upon other people because of their culture, because of their faith, because of their religion, or because somebody from their religion did something else to us in another country or somewhere else? This is not the way of the Quran, and especially this is not the way of the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here clearly expounds upon this, and He mentions that inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. The most noble of you, the most prestigious and honorable of you before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is the most righteous. Righteous means a person who upholds justice, who stands for the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who does those things which are commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, who does not deviate from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who does justice to himself, justice to his family, justice to his community, to his society, wherever he may be. This is a person of justice, of adl, of insaf. This is the person of qist. He maintains this justice. And these are the people of compassion, because the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam was there. He was sent as a mercy to all of humanity, but for there to show his compassion, to share his concerns, to share all of these things with all of humanity. Whether an animal was suffering, he would go and alleviate the suffering of that animal. If a child was suffering, he would go and alleviate the suffering of that child. If a woman or anything living was suffering, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam wouldn't care whether he's from his tribe or not, whether he said something against him or his religion. On the basis of being human, on the basis of having compassion instilled within him from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would go and share that compassion, that sympathy and empathy with humanity. And therefore this is also our duty, to make sure that we remember these articles of faith. We remember the constitution of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of love, of mercy, of tolerance, of compassion, of coexistence. And these are three very, very simple but very comprehensive and holistic principles from the Quran that you can see that every single person should understand and should be applying within their life and sharing with other people as well. And the fourth article of faith, you can see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this particular constitution mentions that inviting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's way, but with wisdom. Okay? Not by forcing people, not by threatening people or any other particular manner. Udu'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikma wal maw'izati al hasana wajadilhum billati hi ahsan. Inna rabbaka huwa a'lamu biman dhalla an sabilihi wa huwa a'lamu bil muhtadin. That invite to the way of your Lord, but in a befitting manner, in an appropriate manner, in a manner of wisdom and beautiful preaching. The way that you approach a topic, your tone, your speech, your pitch, the words that you use, how you carry yourself, how you present yourself, how you interact with the individual, all of these things will have an effect on whether that message goes into one ear and out the other, or it goes into the ear and into the heart. All of these things affect the way. So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, and with beautiful preaching, and argue with them, I debate with them, discuss with them, have a dialogue with them, all of these things, but in an appropriate manner, in a best manner, because remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best who has strayed from his path, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows who is guided. So do your duty, do your da'wah, but then after that, that's it. Leave them, let them be, let them continue with their lives and their choices and their path and their journey, whatever their journey may take them. And the next article to remember from the constitution of the Quran is that faith is not made by compulsion. I.e., you cannot force somebody to accept Islam. Just at the beginning, you have a journey. وَقُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. And here, لَا إِكْرَاهَ فِي الدِّينِ قَدْ تَبَيَّنَ الرُّشْدُ مِنَ الْغَيِّ. And in another verse of the Quran, وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ لَآمَنَ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كُلُّهُمْ جَمِيعًا أَفَأَنْتَ تُكْرِهُ النَّاسَ حَتَّى يَكُونُوا مُؤْمِنِينَ. So let there be no compulsion whatsoever within the religion. Truth stands out clear from error. And had your Lord ever willed, everyone on earth would have believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all together, collectively. Then why are you the one to compel people in order for them to become believers? So like I said at the beginning, that every single person has their journey. Every single person is there looking for meaning, looking for a purpose, looking for a truth in their life. And whether they go on the path of a Christian or a Jew or anything else, that is their choice and that is their right. And they should be able to live in peace, in security, and in prosperity wherever they may be. And especially if they are a minority in a country like Sri Lanka, or we're like a minority here in the UK, we should have the right to exist and to exist in peace, and also to practice our faith and not be living in a state of fear. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also reminds us to build on common ground. And this is a very, very important thing to consider now, especially because of the events that have taken place, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the people, the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam in the Quran, he reminds us that قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ تَعَالَوْا إِلَىٰ كَلِمَةٍ سَوَاءٍ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ. That, O people of the scripture, Christians and Jews, come to a common word between us. And knew that we shall worship none but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we shall ascribe no partner unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we do not take one another for lords besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the common ground is laid out here for Muslims, for the Jews and the Christians, to work together, to collaborate together, to understand one another on the premises and the foundations of who we are and what they are as well. Again and again you can see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not telling you to live in isolation, not telling you to live within your own bubble, but to coexist, but to engage, but to communicate with other people from different religions, from different faiths, from different ethnicities and backgrounds, and let them live and respect them and honor them, and you can also live in respect and honor as well. At the beginning, one of the beginning verses of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَلَا تَسُبُّ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ فَيَسُبُّ اللَّهَ عَدْوًا بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. That don't swear at their deities, don't swear at their gods. Why? Because they in turn will swear at your Lord without having any understanding. So even here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that I know that they are worshipping somebody beside me. I know they are worshipping X, Y and Z. But in spite of that, don't swear at their deities and don't swear at their gods. This is how much tolerance religiously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is instilling within the hearts and the minds of the Muslims to be careful and considerate about other people and their faith and their deities as well. So how about the honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed within Bani Adam, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي Adam, and all of these other things that I've mentioned so far. It's very important for us to remember that the first haven for Muslims was in Abyssinia. It was in Ethiopia when the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam sent the first bunch of Muslims to do hijrah. They went there in a Christian land, and the Muslims there were the minority, but in spite of that, they were protected. They felt safe and they could remain there and they could coexist there with one another. And similarly, we need to make sure that wherever we are, we never become a source of sorrow, of pain, of worry, or of fear, or anything else for any other person within our community, locally, nationally, or internationally. And by going back to all of these principles within the Quran and reflecting back on these articles, we should understand that we are here to coexist, to communicate, to tolerate, to respect, to uphold justice, and to show compassion and mercy wherever we may go within our lifetimes. And then finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ. The righteous is he who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he gives his wealth for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his kinsfolk, to the orphans, to the needy and the wayfarer, and those who ask, and to set slaves free, and observes proper worship, and pays the poor their dues, and those who keep their treaty when they make one, and the patient in tribulation, adversity, and at times of stress. So here some of the characteristics are mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that these are what Muslims do. They are righteous in their actions, in their behavior. They believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They use their wealth not just on themselves, but on other people, on the poor, on the needy, on the homeless, on the destitute, on the asylum, on those people in natural disasters, on the wayfarers, and they help in whatever capacity they can, financially help them, intellectually, emotionally, physically help them. And these are the people, the true ibadur Rahman, are those who keep their ahads, keep their promises, keep their treaties with other people. We've made a pact, we've made a declaration to stay in this country as peaceful citizens, to coexist, to interact, to do all of these things in the correct manner, and to uphold the safety and the security of this country. And whether you're in Sri Lanka, whether you're in New Zealand, wherever you may go, you have a duty, if you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make sure that you maintain and uphold all of these Quranic principles and the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, you can't truly claim yourself to be a Muslim if you're going out and terrorizing and instilling fear and hatred in the lives of other people, when Allah has given them the right to believe or disbelieve, when Allah has ennobled them, who are you to dishonor them? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them the choice, who are you to force it down their throats? All of these things are for us to consider and make sure that our children are not radicalized by these particular thoughts and by these ideologies, and making sure they turn to the Quran and turn to the Sunnah and learn the true principles of the Quran and Sunnah. And always remember that conflict is always hated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hated by the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that لا ينهاكم الله عن الذين لم يقاتلوكم في الدين ولم يخرجوكم من دياركم أن تبروهم وتقسطوا إليهم إن الله يحب المقسطين. So when you are living, when you are coexisting, when you are interacting with your people and they are not throwing you out of your own homes, they are not harming you or threatening you and fighting you and driving you out of your faith, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, what is the default? How do you interact with these people? What is the default mode for you to deal kindly and justly with them in all facets, in all capacities of your life? And for us always to remember the surah that we often recite, لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَدِينَ. For you is your religion, for you is your path, for you is whatever you have chosen, and for me is my path. For for me is my choice. You can coexist and you can live and live however you want to live, and I can also live in a similar manner as well, but with mutual tolerance and respect and coexistence. So these are the articles that I wanted to share with you very, very quickly. This is important for us to reflect upon who we are, what our identity is, and what are the commands, the explicit commands from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which tell us actually to coexist, to love, to uphold justice, to share compassion, and to tolerate and love all of humanity. This is the message of Islam. This is the message of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of the minorities throughout the world, and similarly protect all of the Muslims throughout the world as well. Wa qulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum jazakumullahu khayran. Kal se namaz fajr ki jamaat inshaAllah al-aziz 5 baje ada ki jayegi, namaz zuhr ki jamaat inshaAllah al-aziz 2 baje ada ki jayegi, namaz asr ki jamaat 7:15 baje aur namaz isha ki jamaat 10:20 par ada ki jayegi. Ye auqat zehn mein yaad rakhein. Tomorrow inshaAllah al-aziz salatul fajr will be at 5 a.m. salatul zuhr will remain at 2 p.m. salatul asr will change to 6:45, and Salatul Isha will also change to 10:20 p.m. Pichle Jumatul Mubarak par aapne mashaAllah 1832 pound aur 15 pence ki khidmat ki. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala aapki khidmat ko qubool o manzoor farmaye, aapki maal o jaan mein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mazeed barkat ata farmaye. You most generously mashaAllah donated 1,832 pounds and 15 pence previously on Jumu'ah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abundantly reward you all with health, with sustenance and more provisions in this dunya and success in the hereafter. خصوصی طور پر فاتحہ کی جائے گی ہمارے چودھری اسلم صاحب جو کافی عرصے سے پاکستان میں تھے, ابھی وہ واپس آئے, تو ان کی ہمشیرہ اور کزن پاکستان میں قضاء الہی سے وفات پا گئی. انا للہ و انا الیہ راجعون. اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی دونوں کی مغفرت اور بخشش فرمائے. اس کے علاوہ جیسے کہ آپ سب لوگ جانتے ہیں, ٹی وی پر آپ نے سنا ہوگا, پوسٹر بھی آپ نے دیکھے ہوں گے, اس اتوار کو انشاءاللہ العزیز سالانہ میلاد اور جلوس کا پروگرام ہو رہا ہے برمنگھم میں. پیر نور عارفین صاحب انشاءاللہ العزیز اس کی سرپرستی کریں گے, بہت سارے علماء حضرات پوری یوکرین میں سے اور یورپ سے انشاءاللہ العزیز شامل ہوں گے. ایسٹن پارک میں برمنگھم میں انشاءاللہ العزیز یہ پروگرام ہوگا 12 بجے سے لے کر 5 بجے تک. تو ہماری ہی مسجد سے ایک کوچ جو راجہ عزیز صاحب نے ماشاءاللہ ان کا بندوبست کیا ہے, وہ کار پارک سے انشاءاللہ 8:30 بجے یہاں سے وہ جائے گی. تو جو احباب جانا چاہتے ہیں وہ پلیز راجہ صاحب سے یا ہمارے ظفر صاحب سے یا امجد شکور صاحب سے بالکل بالکل وہ رابطہ کر سکتے ہیں. کمپلیٹلی فری, مفت ہے, کوئی اس کا خرچہ نہیں ہے, کھانا بھی آپ کو دیا جائے گا, چلا آپ کو لے کر بھی جائیں گے اور واپس بھی انشاءاللہ العزیز ذمہ داری کے ساتھ وہ لے کر بھی آئیں گے. تو جو احباب جانا چاہتے ہیں وہ ظفر صاحب انٹرنس پر ہوں گے, ہم شکور صاحب راجہ صاحب بھی ہوں گے, تو وہ اپنا نام لکھوا سکتے ہیں. سو ان شاء اللہ فاتحہ فور چودھری اسلم صاحب سسٹر اینڈ کزن ہو پاسڈ اوے ریسنٹلی ان پاکستان. مے اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی فورگیو دیم بوتھ. ایز یو نو دس سنڈے ان شاء اللہ ول بی دی اینوئل میلاد اینڈ جلوس پروگرام ٹیکنگ پلیس ان ایسٹن پارک ان برمنگھم. دیئر از اے کوچ وچ ول بی لیونگ فرام آور اون کار پارک ان شاء اللہ العزیز آن سنڈے ایٹ 8:30 a.m. Free coach, absolutely no cost whatsoever, and you'll also be fed and brought back as well. So those people wishing to go, please contact Haji Zafar Sahib, Haji Aziz Sahib and Amjad Shakur Sahib at the entrance of the atrium. You're also aware that next Thursday there's local elections taking place, so please do make sure that you also vote as well and participate as much as possible. And is itwar ko inshallah ul aziz masjid ka jo salana hum safai ka bandobast karte hain ramzan se qabl, aur uske liye hum sab ye aap se darkhwast karte hain ki aap zarur masjid mein tashreef laye, namaz zuhr ke baad khud bhi aaye, apne bachchon ko bhi lekar aaye, apne ghar walon ko bhi lekar aaye, unke dilon mein ye baat dalen ki masjid ye aapki masjid hai, mustaqbil ye unki masjid hai. Theek hai, to masjid ke sath taluq rakhna, masjid ke sath mohabbat rakhna, uski safai mein dilchaspi ke sath آپ نے بڑھ چڑھ کر حصہ ڈالنا ہے. تو اس اتوار کو انشاءاللہ العزیز نماز ظہر کے بعد یہ ہم سب پر فرض ہے کہ ہم آئیں اور مسجد کی صفائی میں ہم بڑھ چڑھ کر حصہ ڈالیں. سو دس سنڈے انشاءاللہ العزیز ول بی دا اینوئل کلین اپ جسٹ بیفور دا منتھ آف رمضان سو دیٹ وی کین پریپیئر فار دی ارائیول آف رمضان. اٹس امپورٹنٹ فار اس ٹو ریمائنڈ آور سیلوز دیٹ دس از آور مسجد. This is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore just the way we take care of our vehicles and our homes and just the way we present ourselves and our clothes, more importantly we need to uphold the beauty and the cleanliness of our masjid as well, which we will be asked for on the day of Qiyamah. So therefore it's important to remind yourself and also instill this within your children and your family members as well. This Sunday inshallah al-aziz, make sure that you bring them along read Zuhr here at the masjid and immediately after Zuhr, inshallah. If we have at least 20 to 30 people who are volunteering, inshallah, the job will be done very, very quickly. Basic duties as obviously just doing cleaning the carpet, obviously doing dusting the windows and the glass, etc. So nothing very strenuous whatsoever. But there's a huge amount of reward in participating in the cleaning of the masjid. Every dust particle that you remove, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove your sin and elevate your maqam on the day of Qiyamah, inshallah. So this Sunday, please do remember to come with your family, friends, and with your children. Jazakumullahu khairan.